堂听 class.com。
Passage 1.
Dress for success. Since I had very early on discovered that the socioeconomic value of a man's clothing is important in determining his credibility with certain groups, his ability to attract certain kinds of women, and his acceptance to the business community, one of the first elements I undertook to research was the socioeconomic level of all items of clothing.Take the raincoat, for example. Most raincoats sold in this country are either beige or black. Those are the two standard colors. Intuitively, I felt that the beige raincoat was worn generally by the upper middle class and black by the lower middle class. First, I visited several Fifth Avenue stores that cater almost exclusively to upper middle class customers, and attempted to ascertain the number of beige raincoats versus black raincoats being sold. The statistical breakdown was approximately 4-1 in favor of beige. I then checked stores on the lower middle class level and found that almost the reverse statistic applied.They sold 4 black raincoats to each beige raincoat. This indicated that in all probability my feeling was correct. But recognizing that there were many variables that could discredit such preliminary research, I set the second stage in motion. On rainy days, I hired responsible college students to stand outside subway stations in determinable low-middle-class neighborhoods and outside determinable upper-middle-class suburban commuter stations, all in the New York area. The students merely counted the number of black and beige raincoats. My statistics held up at approximately 4-1 in either case, and I could now say that in the New York area,the upper middle class generally wore beige raincoats, and the lower middle class generally wore black ones. My next step was to take a rainy day count in two different socioeconomic areas in Chicago, Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, and 6 equally widespread small towns. The research again held up.Statistics came back from the cities at about 4-1, and from the small towns at about 2.5 to 3-1. The statistics were not quite that clear-cut, but averaged out into those ranges. From these statistics, I was able to state that in the United States, the beige raincoat is generally worn by members of the upper middle class,and the black raincoat generally worn by members of the lower middle class. From this, I was able to hypothesize that since these raincoats were an intrinsic part of the American environment, they had in all probability conditioned people by their predominance in certain classes, and automatic reactions could be expected. In short, when someone met a man in a beige raincoat,he was likely to think of him as a member of the upper middle class, and when he met a man in a black raincoat, he was likely to think of him as a member of the lower middle class. I then had to see if my hypothesis would hold up under testing. My first test was conducted with 1,362 people, a cross-section of the general public. They were givenan extrasensory perception test, in which they were asked to guess the answers to a number of problems to which the solutions, they were told, could only be known through ESP. The percentage of correct answers would indicate their ESP quotient. Naturally, a participant in this type of test attempts to get the right answer every time and has no reason to lie, since he wants to score high. In this test, among a group of other problems and questions, I inserted a set of almost identical twin pictures. There was only one variable. The twin pictures showed the same man in the same pose, dressed in the same suit, the same shirt, the same tie, the same shoes. The only difference was the raincoat. One black, one beige. Participants were told that the pictures were of twin brothers and were asked to identify the more prestigious of the two. Over 87%, or 1,118 people, chose the man in the beige raincoat. I next ran a field test. Two friends and I wore beige raincoats for 1 month, and then switched to black raincoats the following month. We attempted to duplicate our other clothing during both months. At the end of each month, we recorded the general attitude of people toward us, waiters, store clerks, business associates, etc. All three of us agreed that the beige raincoat created a distinctly better impression upon the people we met. Finally, I conducted one additional experiment alone. In determining what constitutes upper middle class dress, it is obvious from the experiment that secretaries and receptionists, who generally were not members of the upper middle class, did in fact recognize upper middle class clothing, if not consciously, then at least subconsciously, and they did react to it. Their reactions indicate that dress is neither trivial nor frivolous, but an essential element in helping a man to function in the business world with maximum effectiveness. But does everyone react as the secretaries did? For years, some companies have been attempting to increase the efficiency of employees by prescribing dress and establishing dress codes. Most of these schemes have proved ineffective because they have been created by amateurs who don't understand the effect clothing has on their work environment. Dress codes can work, but the assumption that clothing has a major, continuing impact on the wearer is erroneous. True, you may feel shabby when you wear shabby clothes, and your morale may perk up a bit when you splurge on an expensive tie. But clothing most significantly affects the people whom the wearer meets, and in the long run affects the wearer only indirectly because it controls the reaction of the world to him. My research shows that in most business situations, the wearer is not directly affected by his clothing, and that the effect of clothing on other people is mainly controlled by the socioeconomic level of the clothing. Let me say it straight out. We all wear uniforms, and our uniforms are clear and distinct signs of class. We react to them accordingly. In almost any situation where two men meet, one man's clothing is saying to the other man, "I am more important than you are. Please show respect." Or, "I am your equal and expect to be treated as such." Or, "I am not your equal and I do not expect to be treated as such."